Good morning. Good morning, Rabotai. Welcome to Breakfast and the Class. Breakfast and the Class today is dedicated loving memory of Ms. Lily Safra, Lilu Nishmat, Leah Batchana, our philanthropy has reached so many throughout the entire world. And Breakfast and the Class and the Week of Cold Brew sponsored by David E. Ash in honor of you and your substantial capacity to do good today and every day. And if you've been listening, you'll also know that there is incredible gear and merch that you can buy to support us at capacityforgood.com. And if you wondered if that gear looks any good, I have two people here to show you exactly what it looks like. Maybe get down a little bit. We have Shai, who's not so shy, and of course the one and only David E. Ash. You can buy the t-shirts and the sweatshirts online, but you cannot buy David and Shai online. Zaku Baruch. Okay, wonderful. My friends, let us begin. I'd first of all like to tell everyone, Chag Sameach. We're now in Happy New Year's Day. It's second day Yom Tov, like they say. We started at 8:30 schedule. And it's funny, Jewish people always complain to me about the second day Yom Tov. Not one person said one word to me about the fact that we have 2 days Yom Tov when it comes to Xmas. It comes to New Year's, everyone's home, extra day. I never heard one word of complaining, you know, that no one moved to Israel for the high holiday, for three times a year. No one told me I have an apartment somewhere else. Do I keep one day? Mashallah, everyone's happy to keep both days when it comes to this. Hashem should bless us, Be'ezat Hashem, to always have the right hashkafa and right perspective about the mitzvot that we do and the holidays we keep. My friends, yesterday I asked a question, and a couple people reached out with an answer to the question, and it is from that question that we will begin today. Yaakov Avinu is blessing his children. And as we explained yesterday, the word bracha does not only mean to bless, but it also means to single out and identify that which is positive about each one of the children, which is why the blessings seem more to be descriptions and prophecies about these sons of his than they seem to be blessings. And if that is the case, so we were left with one bomb of a question. And the question actually is that if it's about identifying the uniqueness, if that's what beracha means in this instance, we are left with one question. That Shimon and Levi don't seem to be unique because they're described together. Shimon ve Levi achim. Shimon and Levi are brothers. You know, Klei Hamas, they've stolen their vessels. Which vessels? The fact that they took a sword and approached the story of Shechem, of the story of Dinah. So you see, they stole this sword, which really belonged to who? Belonged to Esav. Like the Pasuk says, Hakol kol Yaakov, Vayedayim idei Esav. The hands belong to Esav. But the voice, the Torah, the Tefillah, that belongs to Yaakov. So they stole someone else's unique gift, which was the gift that was given to Esav to live by his sword. My friends, if this is the case, so why was the blessing of Shimon and Levi given together? And I'd like to share something that I think is very, very powerful. Ahalkem b'Yaakov, afitzem b'Yisrael. What did Yaakov do in order to solve this problem of the fury of Shimon and Levi, of the wrath of these brothers? The Gemara asks, what does it mean, Shimon v'Levi achim, that they are brothers? Aren't they all brothers? It says earlier, and Shimon and Levi took their swords. Who were they? Achei Dinah. The brothers of Dinah, wasn't she the sister of all of them? Why are they singled out as the brothers of Dinah? The answer is that when it says Achim, and there are others that are left out, it indicates that these were brothers in a way that others were not brothers. You see, Shimon and Levi acted like brothers to Dinah in a way that the other brothers did not act towards her. They took initiative. They defended her honor. And whether it was right or wrong, they showed an element of brotherhood. They risked their lives for her. we find a replica of this idea where it says that Miriam was the brother of Aharon. And the Midrash explains that it was because Aharon risked his life for her. After she got tzarat, Aharon comes to Moshe and he defends Miriam. And he puts himself in the firing line, so to speak. She just got punished for what she said, and now you're defending her? Alnat he kemet. Right? Don't please Moshe, you know, pray for her. Get forgiveness for her. So since he risked his life for her, he put himself in harm's way, he illustrated that he was a brother. My friends, this idea of brotherhood, of showing that you are family, you know when it shows? Not when things are good, but when things are bad. Not when things are easy, but when things are tough. Like the Pasuk says, Bechol et ehovrea, at all times you should love a friend. Ve'ach letzara yulad. But when's a brother born? Letzara yulad, in a difficult time. So Aharon, that showed that he was a brother in a difficult time, that was a brother. Shimon and Levi, that put themselves in harm's way for Dinah, they were her brothers. But my friends, it doesn't go only with regards to immediate family. There's a remarkable understanding. The Pasuk says about Kozbi Bat Tzur, that she went and she seduced Zimri, right? She seduced Zimri ben Salu, the Nasil Bet Av Shimoni. And why did she do that? The daughters of Midian, they got all dressed up, or perhaps dressed down in this case, and they seduced all the Jews to try and get them to worship the Avodah Zarah, to perhaps take away the threat of the strength of the Jewish people. She put herself out there, and what does the Pasuk say? It calls her the sister of all of Midian. Wild, Achotehen. Since she put herself out to be able to defend her countrymen, if you will, she became known as all of their sisters. My friends, the idea of being a brother comes when a person is willing to lay themselves out, to put themselves out for you. The idea of being a sister is when you put yourself out for someone. And the minute you've stuck your neck out for someone in your community, for someone in your family, for someone in your country, you become their brother, their sister, Achim Lanetzach. You know, I think to myself all the time, when we pray for the Hayale Tzahal, you know, we talk about this idea that they're out there and they're fighting, that Hashem should protect them, b'yabasha, b'aviru, b'yam, right? We refer to and we feel about these soldiers like they are our brothers, because literally, that's what they are doing. They're taking their lives in their hands to be able to defend us, to be able to ensure that our children and our mothers and our fathers, when they go to the Kotel, when they go to Machane Yehuda, when they go to the Shuk, they should come back for Shabbat to us, and we should be able to keep our family safe and intact. That's why we say, Achenu Ko Bet Yisrael, right? Our brothers, all of Am Yisrael, Hashurim Batzara, that are now in Tzara, they are sitting in Tzara, Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take mercy on them. And I always think to myself, Shiruyim Batzara could mean that they are sitting in their personal time of Tzara. They are in their own personal challenging state. Hashem, have mercy on them. But I think that there's a deeper meaning. You know what makes them Achenu? What makes them our brothers? Hashiruyim b'tzara. That they are there for us, even in a moment of our tzara. They are willing to live in pain, even if that pain is not only theirs, it's ours. That makes Shimon and Levi Achedina. But my friends, they are also called Shimon ve'Levi Achim. That means you want to know what the defining characteristic of Shimon and Levi is? Brotherhood. He's not saying that they are brothers and then telling you who they are. He's telling you that their character trait is a character trait of brotherhood. They stick together. They do things together. And what Yaakov Avinu understood was that the greatest beracha that he could give Shimon and Levi was to separate them. The beracha was achalkem, afitzem. Let's take a look at what our Chazal teach us. Yaakov Avinu did with Shimon and Levi. He saw that they had a wrath, an anger that was capable of being kindled. But who kindled that wrath? Shimon and Levi, that they would look to one another, and each one would say they would rile each other up to the point where they would wind up making decisions, perhaps that weren't the best decisions. The Midrash tells us that in the story of Shechem, Yaakov Avinu said, why didn't you ask me? Bisodam al tavo nafshi. The Unculus translates the word bisodam, he says, birim zehen, in their secrets. When they were quiet, when they were giving each other signs, they kept me out, they didn't ask me. Shelo natlu, they did not take etzah from Yaakov Avinu. You know who else they didn't take etzah from? They are brothers, aren't they brothers with everybody else? No, they didn't ask anyone else in the family, because they knew that anyone else in the family would try and cool them down. By the way, when do we see that? We see that in the selling of Yosef. Who comes up with the idea of killing Yosef? Shimon and Levi. They have a problem, let's get rid of the problem. Reuven disagrees. Yehuda disagrees. But Shimon and Levi together, they cause trouble. So therefore, when they come down to Yosef, Yosef says, if I leave these people together, Shimon and Levi, they'll destroy all of Egypt. So what does he do? He puts Shimon b'ma'asar, he locks up Shimon. So Shimon and Levi are separated. My friends, it's fascinating to note what the Pasuk says. They're all emptying their sacks. Merikim et sakehem. All the brothers, plural, emptying their sacks. And then the Pasuk says, Ha'echad. And when one of them, emptied, says the commentaries, who's Ha'echad? Ha'echad refers to Levi. Because this boy, this young man, had never been by himself. He was always part of two. He was always part of Shimon and Levi. And because he was separated from Levi, Tashkocho, his strength was tempered. And suddenly, Ha'echad behaves differently than he ever behaved before. Chazal tell us that what did we do with Shimon and Levi? He appointed Shimon and Levi to be Milamdei Dardiki, the ones that teach the children. He made them the school teachers, the ones that would teach the children Aleph Bet, the Pisukim. Why did he do that? Because when someone teaches children, they develop a patience. They know they need to teach something again and again and again. And that would stamp, that would tamp down that anger that flared up in Shimon up until this point. What did he do with Levi? He made Levi someone that did not have a portion in the land of Eretz Israel. What happens to Levi? En lo chelek v'nachala. What does he have? He has the kihuna. He needs to serve on behalf of all the Jewish people. He relies on the gifts of every person. You know something? If you have a sharp tongue, if you're the guy that's always shambling everybody in shul, could you imagine if your livelihood came from everybody in shul? All of a sudden, you become a much nicer guy. All of a sudden, you're not correcting people, you're not yelling at people. This is your parnassah. Like they say in French, you can't poop where you work, right? If this is everybody who's, what's it called? Who's your, you're relying on them. Levi, his reliance became on everybody. When they make parnassah, they have to give him ma'aser. They have to give him tirumah. So suddenly, Levi had to tamp down his kana'ut, his anger, his fire. My friends, you know what the beracha that Yaakov gave Shimon and Levi was? The gift of independence. Not just of everybody else, but from one another. Because brotherhood can manifest in two ways. One way family, brotherhood can manifest is in a positive light. When you're there for someone, where you help them out in a difficult time. But then there's another element of this as well. When you become completely batel to the other. Not only in a one way, where one of them is strong and one of them is weak. Not only there. We don't see that Shimon is the strong one and Levi is the weak one. We don't see that. In fact, Levi stands up in the story of the Egel, right? Moshe Rabbeinu says, Kichu ish charbo, right? That's Shevet Levi. They do what they did in Shechem in the Jewish people, but mandated by God. What happens? Who's the man who stands up in the story against Shimon? right? In the story of Pinchas. Pinchas from the tribe of Levi. Zimri is from the tribe of Shimon, right? Levi stands up against Shimon. Suddenly there's this new thing, this new possibility that Shimon and Levi can be apart from one another. They don't have to do everything together. And whereas before everything was done in tandem, they live together, they die together, they ride together, suddenly Levi could think for himself. And Shimon also was capable of charting a new path for himself as well. My friends, Yaakov does not want to tamp down the passion of a Shimon or of a Levi. If you have a school teacher that comes to school to teach children, you know what they say, those who can't do, teach. You know? You have a guy, he can't do anything else, he becomes a school teacher. That guy does not deserve to be in the seat that he's sitting. You have a guy who comes there, he teaches every year for 50 years on autopilot. Those are the worst teachers. Hashem Yishmor, God should protect our children from burnt out teachers. Not only do they not teach the material well, but you know what else they do? They destroy the children they're supposed to teach. Because you know what? The last place in the world they want to be is in the place that they're sitting. But they can't do anything else because no one showed them something else. Hashem should bless our children to be protected from those people. Hashem should bless our schools to treat the teachers with the respect that they are due so that the person doesn't come in a zombie and that excitement wasn't snuffed out. Shimon needs to be excited. Shimon needs to be in the classroom jumping up and down on a table. You know, sometimes you go to school and you see a Rebbe so excited, running around, jumping, slapping the kids, high five. You know, you want to cry because a guy like that, he's someone who's going to get through to those kids. He's going to excite them. I have to say this. You know, if the Torah is boring and the Nintendo Switch and the Xbox and YouTube are exciting, what does your kid want to spend all his time doing? But when the Rebbe has a great story and the Rebbe asks questions and he gets the kids involved and he's jumping up and down like a Majnun case, then the kids are excited by their Rebbe. The kids are switched on. Just yesterday, my son had a day in school. I was actually here, so I could not be there in the school to see it. But the Rebbe has a picture on the door, has a hand on the door. And it says, if ever there's a time when no one pats you on the back, come to this door, put your back against the door, and there's a hand. He leaves a hand there, so you get a pat on the back. Mashallah. Rabbi tells me, if your kid, you see, he's not ready for the class tomorrow, he's very nervous, call me, tell me, we didn't get a chance, I'll give him an extra day. That's a Rebbe, that's a rabbi, that's going to protect your kids. Yaakov does not want to shut down the fire of Shimon. He just wants to make sure that you get a chance to think it through yourself. But Shimon and Levi together is mob psychology. One of them gets worked up, because that's how they are. The other one gets worked up, and then you know what? Cooler heads can't prevail. You know why? Because there's another head. This is one case where two heads are not better than one. Levi, on the other hand, becomes the Kohanim. Till this day, Levi has that fire. We know that the Gemara says that Kohanim ragzanim. Kohanim are people that get angry. They're hot under the collar. Why? Because they also, imagine you're sitting there doing korbanot in the Beit HaKnesset all the time. People coming to you for berachot all day long. If you can't bring that fire to your work, what are you going to become? You're going to become a robot. You're going to turn the people off. In fact, the Pasuk tells us that by Hophni and Pinchas, who were the two children of Eli HaKohen, it says in the Pasuk that they were mizaneh with the wives of people that came to bring the korbanot to the Beit HaMikdash. Gemara says, what? They were with the wives of people that came to bring korbanot? Answers the Gemara, no, that's not what it means. It means that they couldn't be bothered to bring the korbanot of the women that would come to bring their sacrifices to the temple. They wouldn't rush to do the korbanot because they didn't get as much out of that korban. So therefore, the women had to wait extra time to come to bring their korbanot, and therefore they were away from their husbands for longer than they needed to be. But the Pasuk says it as a chastisement, if you will, of these people, of Hophni and Pinchas. It calls it out in a very almost visceral, horrible way, because that's what happened to them. They forgot why they were doing it. They lost the passion and energy. And they, instead of doing it for the right reasons, they thought to themselves, which korban do I get more meat from? That's the one I'm going to invest in. It became a business. It became something that they were dialing in. So my friends, achalkem b'Yaakov, afitzem b'Yisrael. I'm going to make sure that they get divided, these two heads. My friends, it is not only Shimon and Levi that need to be separated. It is not only Shimon and Levi that need the beracha of being separated. Today, my friends, we're going to break up families. Today, we're going to break up brothers and we're going to break up sisters. I don't mean in terms of shalom. You've heard me speak about shalom all the time, about bringing families together. But my friends, if God wanted you, your brother, your sister, your family to be one unit, He would have made a body with eight heads. You're not one body with eight heads. Could you imagine how much fighting that would be? Right? You understand? Borei Olam created us to be alone. Hen am levadad yishkon. Vayivater Yaakov levado. You can only achieve greatness. You can only achieve your unique purpose in this world when you can think alone. When you can think for yourself. If you're thinking as a family, you're not thinking for yourself. Think for yourself and then decide to buy in to the family. Wonderful. Think for yourself and then decide, you know what? I'm going to be mevater. I'm going to give in for shalom. I want him to have. I want her to have. I want them to do. I want to go where they want to go. Great. But you thought about that for yourself. When someone else imposes their will on you enough times, when someone gives you enough ideas, when you can't think for yourself, you don't exist, my friends. So you want to know what the beracha of Yaakov was to Shimon and Levi? Arur apam ki az. Their anger, it's beyond everything. You know why? Because Shimon ve Levi achim. They're putting their brotherhood, their togetherness, that to them is the highest value. And when you couple that with the excitable nature of who they are, suddenly we're in a very difficult position because they can't think for themselves. My friends, this idea of thinking for yourself, it's true when it comes to your brother, your sister. It's also true when it comes to your parents. It's also true when it comes to your wife, when it comes to your husband, when it comes to your children. People who get decisions made for them, ultimately two things happen. Either it comes to a boiling point and then it explodes in such a supernova that there's no way back. Or in some cases, even sadder than the fact that there's no explosion, is that there's an implosion and they get beaten down and have their individuality stripped from them and their opinion stripped from them again and again and again and again and again. And the saddest thing is that there's no explosion and there's no sound and the person ceases to exist. That is not shalom. Shalom is when two beings make peace. Not when there's peace because one being always gets his way and the other has stopped to exist. That's not shalom. Achalkem b'Yaakov, afitzem b'Yisrael. And then you know what? Once they're in their own shoes, once they're capable of thinking for themselves, then Shimon and Levi naturally will already bring tremendous beracha to the Jewish people, each in their own way. May God bless us to have the space around ourselves, at least in our minds. May God bless us to have the capacity to think through our choices and our decisions and decide what we want to do for ourselves. And even when we want to do something for somebody else, that it comes from me and it's not imposed upon me. May Hashem bless us, Be'ezrat Hashem, to at the same time have achva, to have peace. Ahava ve'achva. Shalom ve're'ut. Brotherhood, friendship and peace, because those are not always the same thing. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen ve'amen.